Men, we want what we want when we want it. We don't like to be kept waiting, do we? But doesn't that attitude show a lack of respect for others? Hello, I'm Brian Patrick, and welcome to Crossing the Goal, where we tackle tough issues men might think about but don't talk about very much. We're beginning a new series on the godly man, and being patient is our topic this time on Crossing the Goal. We're kicking off a new series here on Crossing the Goal called The Godly Man. This time, the godly man is patient as we meet our Crossing the Goal team again. From Renewal Ministries, Peter Herbeck. From Focus, the Fellowship of Catholic University Students, Curtis Martin. And our coach, former NFL All-Pro wide receiver and coach, Danny Abramowitz. Gentlemen, good to have you back together again. And Peter, can we get this thing going?
Yeah, it's great to start a new series again, isn't it?
It is.
It's great to be back together.
Although,
starting with patience, yeah. I'm a little concerned we have a little credibility gap up here, you know, on this one.
We're
but although Danny's with us,
bunch.
He's the quintessence of patience, Danny, so we're going to start with you.
All pros in patience,
yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
I tell you what, guys, you want to talk about patience. I was just thinking about this. Let me give you a little test here. What about... You want to test your patience? Turn your computer on, especially if you're about a 64-year-old man like me. Or secondly, here's another good one. You're about ready to eat dinner and the phone rings. It's a telemarketer. Or even better than that, you're driving in your car. All of a sudden, you look in your rearview mirror and there's someone right on your tail. You want to put the brake on right away.
That's the difference you and me. I'm the one wondering why you're driving in the fast lane. No, we live in a fast food culture, and we've become spoiled. You drive up, you place an order, you're like, I'd like a hamburger. Well, where is it?
Yeah, right.
And right away. And the challenge for this with us is love is the most important of all the virtues. And when St. Paul describes love, the very first word he uses in 1 Corinthians 13 is love is patient. I would never have begun describing love that way. So we have a lot to learn here.
And the whole series, really, the Godly Man series, is another way of saying putting on the Lord Jesus Christ. What we're talking about is we're called to imitate the person of Christ. And the great thing, and what we're going to find out throughout this series, is that the Lord Himself has given us the power to live a different way of life. That there's real hope for actually becoming patient. There's real hope for actually becoming kind. And the key is, how do we plug into the grace of God to be able to receive what He wants to give us so that we can live a new way of life?
And Peter, you and Curtis have that game plan on the godly man is patient. Next on Crossing the Goal, right after this quick timeout. It was fast.
Our topic as we begin this new series is patience, which is an important virtue for every man, for every person. But when we talk about patience, we might be surprised at what it really means when we get into the definition. Peter, what are we talking about?
It comes from a root word, pati, a Latin word which means to suffer, to endure, and to bear up. Thomas Aquinas said to endure, patience is to endure what hurts, what's challenging, what's difficult, but endure it with grace and a certain serenity, and not become unduly saddened by the challenge that you're facing and the struggle. So I think it's a great way to define it. And if you think about patience and all the godly characteristics that we're going to be talking about over the next number of weeks, it's all related to taking on the character of Jesus Christ. I was thinking of that passage, Curtis, in Galatians chapter 5, where it talks about the fruits of the Holy Spirit. This will kind of give you an idea of what's at the heart of making patience possible and doable and reachable is that it's a work of God in us that the Lord is seeking to produce. And it says this, it says, now the works of the flesh, that's what we're all born with, that's what we're all struggling, and I see a lot of the flesh in me at times. The works of the flesh are plain: fornication, impurity, licentiousness, idolatry, sorcery, enmity, selfishness, and he goes on. But then he goes down in verse 22, he says, but the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. Against such as these, there is no law. And what we're looking at is being moved by God's grace, from one place, living in the flesh, being impatient is an example of living in the flesh.
Right.
You know, I was at the airport the other day and a guy was mad because his flight was delayed and he stood there at the counter. He just was, his, you know, veins were popping out of his neck and he slams his fist down. He goes, do you know who I am? Do you know where I need to be?
Look,
and he just,
look,
his wheels fell off.
I'm not going to travel with you anymore.
I mean, the wheels fell off from that. That I know, having traveled a lot, how easy it is to be impatient. But what the gift of the Spirit is, the fruit of the Spirit that grows in us, is the capacity to control that feeling and that desire and bring it under the service of love.
Well, that's it. Actually, we're taught how to do that in the continuing verses. In chapter 5, verse 24 of Galatians, it says this, now those who belong to Christ Jesus have crucified the flesh and its passions and desires. It actually takes a putting to death. It's the, do you know who I am?
Yeah.
Well, he does know who you are, and you need to put your desires to death.
Yeah.
And as we do that, something amazing begins to happen because we're new creations in Christ. The Holy Spirit is working within us to produce these fruits. But unlike an apple tree that naturally produces apples, we have to actually choose to produce the fruits of the Holy Spirit.
Yeah.
And how do we do that? By putting to death those passions within us and allowing God's fruits to begin to bear their fruit in our life.
Yeah.
So we become patient by denying our desires to have it our way all the time.
It's amazing how practical the scripture is. And Paul in particular says, okay, now, because of the grace you've been given in baptism in Christ, it's time to go to work and put off the old and put on the new. Put off that old nature, put on the new nature is what we're talking about. So what it's a lifelong process, but it's a lifelong process of doing just what you're saying. It's saying yes to the Spirit within me. The Lord's given me a new capacity. I used to respond to the flesh mainly, my instinctive response to protect myself, to assert myself, to insist on my own way, or that I get in the front of the line and not the back of the line. And Jesus is saying that drive needs to be subdued under the power of my Holy Spirit. And I'm going to give you my Spirit. I'm going to give you my heart and give you a capacity now to live a different way of life. And that capacity is now to live in love. For example, if you bug me, you know, you're trying to jump in line, let's say at the airport again, let's go back there since I've had so many frustrating experiences in airports, but you jump in front of me and you're not supposed to be in front of me. My instinctive response is I want to grab you by the collar and pull you back or something, right? Or just to be agitated inside. If I'm under that drive and desire, it starts to control my mind. But if I'm under the grace and power of the Spirit, if I say, Lord, help me in this situation, this guy's driving me nuts, help me. I start to see this man differently. The Lord helps me through the Spirit to see him the way the Lord sees him, the dignity of the person, who he is. Even though he might be being a jerk in the situation, I'm going to respond to him the way Christ would respond to him.
And we need to understand two things about this. As the man pursues this, it is a two-step forward, one-step back. We were talking during the break that we lose ground on some of these things over time. We just have to keep pressing on.
Yeah.
And the beautiful thing here is, actually what we learned as children still holds true. Manners are a great guardian here.
Yeah.
If we just have good manners, that's kind of the foundation stone for the growth in the virtues, but in patience in particular that we're talking about, that by just simply letting people in, all of a sudden you take away that sense of, I should be there.
Yeah.
And we have to recognize that that's a great way to begin looking at life, to begin looking at other people, because really we have to be radiating the image of Christ in the world.
Yeah, it you know, it brings right into our home too. Think about how much patience you have. How many children do you have? Eight children. How often you need patience with your children? How often you need patience with your wife? It's easy for us to react impatiently in situations and feel justified in doing it, because we're acutely aware of what wrong might have been done to us, or that they're not listening to us, or they're not responding properly, instead of seeing the person in the light of Christ. And the Lord gives us a new power. It can be easy to feel a bit hopeless in the area. We don't need to feel hopeless because we know Christ has given us the power to live a different way of life.
You know, patience, particularly for men in the family, is a great opportunity, because we can sometimes become very impatient with our children, not when they do something wrong, but when they want to get into our lives, when they want to tell us about what's important in their life. Sometimes we're flying at a different level, and to be able to slow down and say, you know, what's important to you is important to me because it's important to you. God the Father does this with us all the time. We're talking to him about stuff that he doesn't, you know, all by itself care about, but he cares about us, and his desires become ours when we open up our heart to him. And that's, patience allows us to not only act like God, but also to open ourselves up to his action in our lives. Brian?
Thanks, Curtis. Peter, Coach, you've been patiently listening to these guys put the game plan together. You ready to go to the red zone now?
Am I ready? Let's get going. Come on, let's go, guys. What's taking so long? Come on, let's go.
All right.
I know. Patience.
I'll catch up, Coach.
I'm sorry.
We're in the red zone next here on Crossing the Goal. Gotta go. We mix it up here in the red zone on Crossing the Goal. This time we're talking about the godly man is patient. And Danny, I bet you learned some lessons about praying for patience.
You have to watch out when you start praying for patience. I can remember one Lent, you know, we talk about giving up stuff for Lent or what can I do to become a better person in Lent. So I said, you know, I really need to work on my patience. So I'm going to pray and ask the Lord to reveal this to me more, my impatience. Wow, was that scary.
It was the worst. That's enough.
Yeah, that was the worst Lent I ever had in my life. Yeah. It ended up being the best Lent. But it was scary how many times that I became impatient with the ones I loved the most, my family. Many times I'd find myself out in the world. I was not the most patient guy in the world, but nowhere near impatient at home. I was impatient at home, and it scared me. I said, man, why am I like this?
Yeah, no, why was that? What did you learn in that season?
I think what I learned is a couple things is I wasn't present a lot of times when I was home. I couldn't differentiate. I'd be out here in the world, and then I'd come back home, and we'd get into a family conversations or, you know, just interplay amongst the family members. And one of my kids would say, Dad, you didn't even hear what I said.
Yeah.
And I'd say, oh, no. And then they look at, you know, kids, you can't fool them. Yeah. And that was the truth. I was not present. I was somewhere else. And then I became impatient with, you know, because they revealed the truth to me.
Yeah, and it really doesn't show respect for other people when we're not present to them.
No. It's tough. You know, we live in a world that rewards men for being hard drivers. And so we push pretty hard out there. And we're rewarded nicely for it. And then you come home with that same sort of drive, and you run your family members over.
Yeah.
They love you, they've been waiting for you,
right,
and they want you to engage with them. And unless I almost have to imagine it as I'm driving a car and I got to shift into a different gear as I'm walking into the house. Otherwise, I'm just not listening. Yeah. My kids are talking and I'm thinking, what's for dinner? And I've got my own thing that's going on. I really have to get outside of myself.
It's not so easy to make that downshift. Because, and you ask the question, why? Why can't I downshift? Why can't I be present? Why can't I be more at peace? Why is my mind somewhere else? I'm anxious about a whole set of things, you know, finances, how the business went, how that meeting went today, and I can't let it go. And what that reveals is something inside us that the Lord wants to touch, why it becomes a fruit of the Spirit. We learn to walk in the Spirit, and the Lord gives us peace about our life. You know, we actually, as we grow closer to Christ in daily prayer and the sacraments and opening our life, we begin to walk with Him and realize, you know, I can trust Him.
Mm-hmm.
He's real.
Yes.
You know, my life's going to be okay. You know that He's going to work out, what is the passage in Romans 8? You know, God works the good for all those, you know, who love Him. He works in every situation. Or I can learn, like Paul says, I learned how to be abased. I learned how to abound. I know the secret of contentment.
So it has to be an inner peace. If we just manufacture it on the outside, eventually that impatience is going to come out and pop.
Right. Yeah. And you got to work on it to dovetail onto what you were saying there. If you start looking, I look at my own life and say, okay, when am I patient, more patient than I am impatient?
Yeah.
And I start looking at it as one is my priorities. Is God, my family, my job, et cetera, is that in order?
Yeah.
Am I praying? Not just words, because a lot of times we go out there praying, you find impatience in prayer because you're like, you're in the prayer and you're really not, you say, what am I praying? I'm not doing anything here. But true prayer, the sacraments that you talk about, try to do the Eucharist. Then I start looking at relationships in my life. How is my relationship with my family? Is that in order? Because if it's not, I find myself becoming very impatient. And I got to look at myself because many times I'm the one that causes the turmoil in the family. Next is, am I organized? Am I organized in my daily stuff, in my business or whatever it is? When you become disorganized, you talk about it getting impatient. And a lot of times in the finances, if your finances are not in order, you talk about impatience.
Sure.
These are the type of things. And one thing that will lead to very much a lack of patience and bring on impatience, start watching the news, start getting involved with all that stuff. You'll find yourself aggravated.
So like the anxiety of the world, you start adding that onto your own anxiety, and you feel like, not only am I out of control, everything's out of control, and so I feel a little bit out of it. So feeling out of control, I think, sometimes creates that. Is it like a seed bed for impatience?
Either out of control, but you had mentioned in the break or something about control, a control freak a lot of times.
Yeah, but you know, sometimes in my own life, when I've seen impatience, it comes down to pride. I mean, like there's something inside me that said, you know, I'm not paying attention to that person because I'm more interested in saying what I want to say than hearing that person.
I'm sorry, I was thinking about something.
I knew that was coming.
Set you up perfectly for that.
Absolutely. Yeah. But what did you say? No.
Yeah, right.
For me, the challenge is to really understand and go back to what we talked about earlier, what is patience, and to realize it's not grin and bear it.
Yeah.
That's patience.
That's endurance.
Exactly. Yeah. Patience is actually, I have a serenity, even a joy about this. And for me, an aspect of my life that's been a huge help is the rosary. Because the rosary to me is, I keep thinking, I don't have 15 or 20 minutes right now, and I keep pushing it off. And when I slow down and just take a moment to reflect for just a few minutes on the mysteries of the life of Christ through the eyes of the Blessed Virgin Mary, it just recalibrates my day. And all of a sudden, I've gotten outside of myself, and I can put context the rest of my day. So the rosary's been a huge tool for me to grow in patience in particular.
Yeah, when we're under pressure and under the gun sometimes, we end up doing the very thing that we shouldn't do. I get up in the morning, I start worrying about all the things that need to get done, and I'm kind of impatient to get it done. And then I say, well, I'm going to have a shorter prayer time today because I got all this stuff I have to do. Now, the saints have learned the secret. They pray more and they get more done. We pray less, we get less done.
But sometimes it's because when we're praying, we want God to do something for us now. Yeah. And God's time is not necessarily our time. I think God's on slow time compared to us.
Yeah.
And you bring up a good point there is we think that the impatient or being patient just happens to do with a lot of things happening out in the world. You know, we have to work on our patience even in the more quiet time. You know, when we're in, I find myself, I don't know about you guys, I'll be in adoration a lot of times. And next thing I know I find myself impatient in there. My mind, because I said, I've been in here 40 minutes. In my mind, I've been thinking about things going on out here. I can't even calm myself enough. I sort of get down on yourself a little bit. Have you ever experienced things like in a calmer time, sort of losing your patience?
And what's the tools? I mean, how do we battle it? We've got a few minutes left to be able to talk. What do we do to battle and learn and grow to impatience? What are the tools we found?
Well, number one is, to me, is daily prayer time for me. I mean, it sounds really obvious, but it just sort of sets the course for the day. Mm-hmm. It helps dispose me. Remember, God's in control, I'm not in control. As soon as I start thinking I'm in control, then I'm more uptight and I become impatient in a lot of situations.
And you mentioned it a minute ago, but one of the principles that we talk with our missionaries of Focus is the multiplier effect. God will multiply your time if you give him some of your time.
Yeah,
and definitely. We've just seen that over and over and over again in a way that almost defies mathematics. Yeah. But it's an efficiency that comes for the rest of your day, a sense of calm and ease. But I think that's a huge tool.
I found that an attitude of putting another person first. If I put you first, then I'm going to be far less impatient with you because I'm thinking more about you than me. I think my impatience comes from I want what I want. But if I put you first, it's easy.
Well, it's good. Out in the service, I think of service of others and caring about other people. I think I bet in your ministry where you're out on campuses, ministering to large groups of people. I mean, I bet your missionaries are at peace with themselves and are patient. I mean, in a difficult situation.
They prayed, we ask our staff to pray a holy hour every day. But it's a challenge because you get busy and you think, I only got 45 minutes, only got a half hour, only got 10 minutes, whatever it is. And if you cheat back on that, it's amazing how that lack of peace just floods back.
The devil loves that, doesn't he?
Oh, absolutely. Yeah, and I see it in my own life. It's a constant battle to recommit and plant the flag. What am I going to give, you know, of my time, talent, and treasure? How do I give first to God before I give to myself or to the things I want to entertain myself with?
Learning how to be recollected during the day. You know, learning how to practice the presence of the Lord to to be with the Lord throughout the day, which is a discipline we're all learning, we're all trying to, the more I do that in a day, the more patient I am. It's just true.
And right, and to recognize yourself, when are you becoming impatient? You can feel yourself becoming that way, and usually it's anxieties caused by things you're thinking about out here, maybe even out into the future or something, or what we did in the past coming back to haunt us. I think that in this key we talked about, all of us have mentioned prayer, and you know, some guys will say, I don't have time. Well, in the car, when you're doing driving or something like that, just turn everything off. You can say the rosary with a little finger rosary or whatever in the car in reflective time or between meetings or stuff like that. Find time to pray and ask the Lord to help you deal with it. I mean, you need the Lord's help in this to become patient.
Yeah, and Father Mike Scanlon wrote a book about an appointment with God. I think we just have to prioritize that. We make appointments to meet with everybody else. We wouldn't be here right now if we hadn't written on the calendar months ago that we were going to be here right now. Right. If we can make an appointment with one another, we should be able to do that with Almighty God. There's no more important person or persons, three persons in our lives, than God. And so we need to be able to prioritize that, even if it's not an enormous amount of time, that it's a consistent amount of time is what I've found.
Yes.
Yeah. And guys, this is key. When you said in the game plan that St. Paul first mentioned patience as the key attribute of love, that really got my attention.
That's a tremendous challenge. I would never begin by describing love first with that word.
Yeah.
Caring,
I bet your wife
kindness.
Might, though.
Yeah.
You think?
My wife said it all the time. Oh, Danny, you're so patient.
No, she's losing her patience.
Yeah,
with
all right. Is that what it was?
Maybe we should give Danny's wife the last word, but you guys will each get the last word as we push into the end zone next here on Crossing the Goal. Now from the end zone here on Crossing the Goal, we salute all watching on American Forces Network, and we thank you for your service. Let's go to our email bag now. We got an email from Father Anthony in the Virgin Islands. He says, I'm a young priest and working on forming a men's fellowship. We're in the Virgin Islands. Do you have any ideas?
I think we can help Father Anthony out there.
Father Anthony, we actually do travel together as a team, and we would be very interested in going to the Virgin Islands.
Especially in the winter.
Yeah. Yeah. Father Anthony, all kidding aside, we would be glad to have a conference in the Virgin Islands or any diocese anywhere. Just contact us on our website.
Got another email from a friend of yours, I think, in New Orleans. Mary Jo says, Danny, I wish the Saints had gone to the Super Bowl when you were playing for us.
I wish that, too.
Thanks for being one of us. God bless you, Claudia, and the family.
Good. All right. Good.
Well, we're proud of you for that big victory.
I knew they were going to do it all the time. Jump on the bandwagon.
Yeah.
And also a question from Santa Monica, California. Ed writes, I really enjoy your show. Much success with it. My question, I want to start reading the Bible, but I don't know where to start. The Old or New Testament?
Yeah, that's a great question. There really are kind of two fundamental answers. The first one is to start in the New Testament, and I would encourage you specifically the Gospel of John. You're going to meet the person of Christ in a powerful way there.
Reading the Psalms can also be a big help. Jesus himself prayed the Psalms. The heart of God is revealed in those Psalms. Just read one Psalm a day, and it'll draw you close to the Lord.
We'd love to get your emails. You can just go to our website and send us an email on any question. We'll try to answer it for you, and you might even hear it right here on Crossing the Goal. Peter, let's get the last word now on the godly man is patient.
Brothers, I just want to challenge you this week to consider, ask yourself the question, who in your life do you have the hardest time being patient with? Pick that person out and take them before the Lord every single day. Pray for that person by name and ask the Lord to lead you to show them patience someday in some way in this week.
A key to growing in patience is giving God first fruits, to be able to recognize that He comes first. And God gave us 24 hours, and I'm not suggesting that you give Him 2.4 hours, but just 24 minutes. Pray the rosary. The key part to praying the rosary is not just praying the prayers of the Our Father and the Hail Mary, but really meditating upon the life of Christ through the eyes of the Blessed Virgin Mary.
Men, I ask you to pray and ask the Lord to give you the strength to become more patient, especially with your intimate and close family members.
All right, Coach, Curtis, Peter, good to have the team back together. And next time on Crossing the Goal, the godly man is kind. We hope you'll join us then. We've got our Crossing the Coal. The Coal.
Coal. Coal boys. Go get him, Cole.
One more time. Thanks. I like to make my mistake up front so we can, you know, so we can start over again. Today, the godly man is patience. From Renewal Ministries, Peter Focus is on our team along Peter Focus.
Got it. Peter Frampton there for
he said the godly man is patience, and then I could see he said, I'm going to keep going.